Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking majestic Buckhead skyline where the weather is hot. And as we say here in the South, we don't want to get no hotter. All right. We have a lot to do today. There's a lot going on, and I want to say hello to Stacy, and I believe, Robert, you're with me also. Is that correct?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can. Stacy, are you there?
I am. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Robert.
Well, how are you all doing? I say it's hot here in Atlanta. I know that in Florida it's worse, and Robert, my guess is that in Dallas it's 100 degrees.
Yeah, pretty much.
There you go. Well, you know, I've been thinking. I see that's dangerous. I see yesterday I put up a post on Facebook, and it was this little 10-year-old black boy. He was cute as he could be. And he was saying a prayer, and it was on Facebook, and he was praying to Barack Obama, and it was posted, and it's like, isn't this cute and sweet? And you know, in one sense, he was a sweet little boy, and you know, he has great intentions, obviously, but they're completely misdirected. And I see, you know, what is happening in the mayoral race in New York, where we have a certifiable narcissistic sex addict who won't give up, whose wife is the number one confidant of Hillary Clinton, who is, you know, at least better than even odds of being the next president of the United States. And although Weiner is Jewish, his wife is in the Muslim Brotherhood, and they're all tied with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, who flew up to, you know, for another vacation, and they had another jet fly up his dog because Muslims won't fly on the same plane with dogs. And I'm thinking, where are we? What is going on? What has happened to this nation? And why is it that there are so many believers who are sitting on the sidelines doing nothing, which is reminiscent to me of what happened with in Nazi Germany when Hitler took over? It was like, well, they're, you know, there were a lot of good Germans who weren't Nazis, just wanted to play it safe. And of course, it's the same thing that's happening with the with the radical Muslims now. Well, most Muslims are not radical, but they're not doing anything. They're doing nothing to stop the people who are the militants. And here we are in this colossal mess, and the overriding belief of Christians in America is this. We are not in the last times. Americans are not mentioned in the 10 little horns of Daniel for the interpretation of dispensational premillennial rapturism. And so therefore, well, you know, we're not supposed to do anything. So they feel like they're doing the right thing to just sit around and do nothing and just say, well, the end times are upon us and they're just waiting for God to rapture them, which, you know, he's never done much for people who are apostates. And all of those things are swimming in my head. And, you know, I'm not sure what you want exactly to talk about today, but those things are just there, and I wanted to at least get them out and just see. I mean, we need to help these people get the thinking straight so that they can have value. A Christian without value should be an oxymoron, but it isn't. There. That's kind of like what, you know, is on in my mind and thinking right now.
Well, Jack, you're thinking about a lot of stuff, aren't you?
Yes, I do think quite a bit, as a matter of fact.
Well, I think it fits into what I was thinking about talking about today, which is denial. I believe that a lot of people are just in denial and are comfortable with themselves being in that, right? One of the things that Scripture teaches us out of Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower. And can we talk about that for just a moment, okay?
Yeah.
Matthew 13:18 says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means, okay? When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. What that's talking about, Jack and Stacy, is that I believe that there is a point in which God has revealed information to his children. And when we do not respond to what he has revealed, he actually allows the evil one to come and snatch away what we've heard. And so what's occurring here, I believe, is that we're seeing God reveal himself to believers, but believers not being willing to recognize what has been revealed. They have what has been revealed taken away from them. God allows the evil one to come and take it away. And so what occurs is that we don't respond to what God is telling us. And so he allows that to just be taken from us. And so that's what's going on here, is that I believe that we are, because we're not responding to what God has revealed, he is allowing what he has revealed to be taken away. Does that make any sense to you, Jack?
It does, and that's you know, denial is clearly, you know, what is happening with these people. My question then is, once it's been snatched away, can it be re-given, what does that mean with these people? Does it mean that they're not really believers? A lot of them, which I find very, I have a hard time with that, but. What do you think? I mean, once it's snatched away, are we just talking to the wall because they aren't capable? In other words, have their hearts been hardened? Have they been essentially kind of intellectually or emotionally, you know, turned over, as in Romans 1?
Well, I think what it means is that as we look out there and we see people who we think surely they recognize what's going on, and yet they don't seem to, what's next, all right? Where do we go from there? Well, I've been talking to people on the phones, you know. And
yeah.
One of the things that is obvious is that when God reveals something to his children and they choose not to respond to what he's revealed, then it's not that, I mean, it's basically the evil one can come and snatch away the truth that God has revealed to them. And so I was talking to a woman today, and she was telling me about how God had revealed certain things to her, and how that had impacted her life. And so,
that again is what?
Well, when God had revealed some things to her,
mm-hmm.
she responded to those things. And because of that, she was overcoming a lot of the things that had occurred to her in her life. Then I thought about people who God had revealed things to, but they didn't respond to them. They didn't respond to the message that God had given them, and therefore they were just sort of lost in terms of what to do next. And I do think that that happens to Christians, right? And what we do about it is what I have done with people is have them begin to look to God to reveal to them what the truth is. Because if they don't, then they really don't have much hope in this world. And the seed does get taken from them, not their salvation, but the fact that God has spoken to them. And it has to do with this idea of denial. And many Christians don't understand denial, and that God is speaking to his children, but they don't have to respond to what he's told them. And so they end up in really very bad place because they haven't responded to what he has told them. And so
that's something, Robert, that I have understood clearly. I think you're better off being a non-Christian than being a believer who is walking away from God, because you can't even enjoy sin when you're living like that. It's just no fun. Everything is a mess, and it just robs you of every single ounce of joy. When you're just walking in clear disobedience and in denial of the truth, it just doesn't work very well. When I see people like that, and I've been like that, there have been long stretches of my life as a believer where I've done that. And, you know, there isn't anything worth it. You know, there just isn't anything that's worth, you know, walking that way. It just, whether it's a relationship or whether it's greed or avarice or financial security. We don't have to call it greed, just financial security, whatever it is, because, you know, God has a way, and if you work with it, then heaven and earth will pass away, but my word never will, then that's what real reality is, and anything else just doesn't quite cut it. And I mean, I get that. And you know, talking about denial for believers is a really good subject, because it seems to me, if there are like 50 or 60 million born-again Christians in America, we sure ought to be doing a whole lot better than we're doing right now. And we're not. We're impotent.
Well, we
need some spiritual Viagra.
What I encourage believers to do is to take a look at their life and begin to confess whatever God tells them is true. A lot of times as they begin to process through all this, I tell them, look, the only thing you can do is to agree with God when he shows you what the truth is. And other than that, there really isn't anything else you can do. So
people don't understand that, Robert. And the way that they can is with the search for reality. Stacy, I see that you're back. Go ahead and tell everybody where they can get that. And also, take 1 second and tell everybody where we will be for this convention in September.
We're going to the American Association for Christian Counselors in Nashville, Tennessee, September the 10th through the 14th. And
that's an awesome event.
Yes, it sure is. Beautiful fall time of the year. And people can go to our website, which is www.mcgeepublishing.com, M-C-G-E-E. And they can also call me at 800-460-4673.
Go ahead, Robert. I just have to get in a little commercial every once in a while.
Well, I would really encourage people to call Stacy and get the book, Search for Reality, because in there we talk about how we get so confused and how we get so off track, because Satan is able, I talked to this woman not long ago, and as we talked about her life, it became apparent that she had gone through difficult times and then had believed lies that Satan had put on her. But we don't have to live in that for the rest of our life. And I think most Christians don't even understand the lies that they're believing, so they end up just caught in just a miserable situation.
All right, how can somebody, let's just say we have 50 million Christians, and 49 million plus are living in some kind of denial, because they really are. How do they come to understand their situation? Now, I know that, in our first chapter there in The Search for Reality, we talk a lot about what Satan's mindset was. And, in writing about this, it was almost like, oh, my gosh, that's my mindset a lot of times. And it is. And I think that people don't really quite get that what they consider to be normal, healthy thinking essentially runs often contrary to God's word.
Well,
that's a big deal.
It's asking God to show them what the truth is about their life that's the critical part.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. Go into that a little in depth. God showing them. How does somebody, let's say somebody's listening right now, they're just saying, what are you guys talking about? How do I have God show me what is true about my life that I don't think is true, and, I'm not nearly in as good a place as I believe that I'm in? Because that's the truth of the matter.
Well, God does not have a problem showing his children the reality of where they are. In fact, when you ask God about it, he will show it to you. Now, you may ignore it, and in which case you have this whole wrestling thing with God. But long and short of it, at some point in time, you're going to have to agree with God as to the nature of where you are and what you're up to. And it really is not... The only thing we can do with God is to agree with him. That's it. That's the long and the short of the whole deal. And And God's quite willing at that point to show us the reality of our situation. And oftentimes what happens to us is we look at our life, and the reason we're in denial is we're so overwhelmed by everything that's happening around us that it's easier just to deny that anything's going on. And I think that's actually what's happening in our country. Everything is so overwhelming to people, it's easier for them to simply ignore what's going on than it is to acknowledge it. And that's why we are in the mess we're in right now. It's really a time between God and his children as he reveals these things to them. One of the things that I have for people is if they like it, there's a simulation that shows how big the universe is. I forgot who did it, but it's online, but I can send it to people if they'd like it. And it, when you click on it and you begin to see, it's a simulation that starts in the Himalayas, and then it begins to back off, and pretty soon you're past the moon, and then you're into our solar system. And I was talking to a girl today who, when she first started looking at it, became almost frightened because of the size of the universe, until she realized that it was Jesus Christ that actually holds all this in place. And as you allow your mind to conceive of how big the whole thing is, then I think you can realize that no matter how big your problem is, that God is big enough to deal with it, and then you don't have to go into denial. I think most people are in denial because they're in such a big mess that they can't conceive that God himself could actually fix their problem. So, amazing enough, they turn to themselves to try to deal with it. Which is, I mean, all that just seems to be crazy if you think about it. When you're overwhelmed by your own situation, then you deny the one person in the universe that could make a difference, and that is God himself. And so now you're really left up a creek. And that just happens, I think, in a very common... I think most Christians have given up that even God can deal with their problem. So the only solution they have is to deny they have a problem. Does that make sense to you, Jack?
Yeah, or to just say, well, you know, God cares, but I'm pretty much on my own.
Yeah.
They tend to blame God.
Yeah, but...
A lot of people do blame God, though.
Well, the bottom line is, though, what they're dealing with is they think their situation is too bad even for God, so they begin to deny that even God is big enough and that God has spoken to them. And that's very typical. I talked with a girl who was paralyzed from her neck down, had been for some time, And she was obviously in a lot of emotional pain. And when I asked her about that emotional pain that was very obvious in her voice, she had to deny that she was even in it. And that is very typical with believers. If they don't have a solution for what they're going through, they simply deny they're going through what they're going through. Or they end up doing just sort of a ritual routine type of thing. That is very understandable, quite frankly, why we get ourselves into that kind of situation. Because if we don't think even God has an answer to our issues, our problems, what are we going to do? Well, probably we're going to end up trying to deny that we even have those problems. Because it's better to deny that we have the problems than to admit we have them but have no solutions. You see that?
Yeah.
So, only God can give you a sense of relief that He is hasn't lost track of you. He knows where you are, who you are, and what's happening to you. Then, and He's big enough to deal with it, it's like if you had a bill on your account that was for a lot of money, you might even deny that that bill was on your counter. You see what I'm saying? Now,
oh, yeah, and I go to the post office box knowing that it's in there.
Yeah. So, now, it doesn't help you with your bill to deny it's there, but it might help you get through today by denying it's there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And ignore what's going on, or come up with some silly solution to it instead of facing it and allowing God to, and resting in God's power and His love for you. I have been focused on 23rd Psalm, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." Now, if you just think about that, we have a lot of things we have never turned over to Him, and therefore we find ourselves in a desperate situation because we don't recognize that He is our shepherd, and we can rest in Him and who He is for us and to us. So, you know, I would say that would be the thing that I prayed about what we talked about today, and it is the fact that most Christians are actually in denial of what their situation is, and it doesn't get any better until they allow God to intervene and trust Him. Because it's not just words, like, I trust you guys with this. It is actually finding our rest in Him. And knowing that we are resting in Him, I have told God on several occasions, "Lord, I want to see what You do in this, not what I can come up with." Because when we allow God to be God in our life, then we can rest in the future of what our life's going to hold. If we've come up with some grand solution to our problems, then we have dealt with our problem, not allowed God to. So.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, the Christian way now is it's just essentially it's like, "Lord, I just want to turn my life, my will, and this issue over to You and rest in You." And then go right out and do everything that, you know, and then take charge and not pay any more attention to what He's doing.
Yeah, we learned the hard not to do that one. Right.
Oh, man.
But He will allow us
to
do
it. You know, and the truth of the matter is that, this is kind of a, you know, Venus Mars kind of thing. I mean, men just by nature just go out there and, you know, and say, okay. And American men are very resourceful, and we figure out how to get some things done. We got exactly 1 minute left, so let's try and wrap this up. And we'll continue with some of this because this is so important. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, I would really encourage people to go to the website and get the book, because in that book we really deal with this issue of denial and where we have come up with ideas which are not from God. And pretty soon, the girl I was talking to this morning, she said, "You know, I've learned now," because I've talked to her a couple times, "to, when I have a thought in my head, to say, God hasn't authorized me to think that. I will not think that." And she says, "You know what? It just goes away." And she has learned to to destroy the thoughts that are causing her so much grief. That means that she's going to have a much better life.
We're out of time, so let me just say thank you, Robert, Stacy, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Till this time next week. Bye-bye.